Welcome to day 161. We are up to Parakhas Mishneh. Now our Mishnah is going to discuss what we're allowed to do with money that has the status of Shemitah. We said that if you sell or exchange Shemitah produce, then the money that you receive in return also has the status of Shemitah. We treat it with Kedusha Shvi'is, with all of the holiness of the Shemitah year. So the question is, what are you allowed to do with that money? So the golden rule that we're going to see is that what you're allowed to do with that money is actually identical to that which you're allowed to do with the Shemitah produce itself. So says Mishnah, hey, ein nosten lo labayar, you're not allowed to give this money to someone who digs wells for the purpose of getting water for, let's say, bathing. Velo labala, and not to someone who runs a bathhouse, also for the purpose of bathing. Velo lasapar, not to someone who gives haircuts. Velo lasapar, and not the someone who operates boats. So why not? Why can't you give the Shemitah money to any of those people? Because we said that when it comes to Shemitah produce itself, you can really only do one of three things with it. You can eat it, you can drink it, or you can anoint with it. So in none of these cases have anything to do with that, right? Getting a haircut or taking a bath has nothing to do with eating, drinking, or anointing. So we might ask, well, that's obvious. Why does the Mishnah need to say that? So perhaps the Havamina is, meaning one might think that the common denominator between eating, drinking, and anointing one's skin is that they all give benefit to one's body. So maybe that's the general category, and it's not specifically eating, drinking, anointing, but anything that gives benefit to one's body should be okay. So maybe going to a bathhouse or getting a haircut, maybe those things would qualify also. So says the Mishnah, no, that's not true. It really is specific to eating, drinking, and anointing, and other sorts of benefits to one's body does not count. You would not be allowed to use Shemitah produce for that, and you're certainly not allowed to use the money that you receive in exchange for Shemitah produce. You're not to use that for that either. Aval, but no sein hu labayar lishtos. You are allowed to give it to someone who digs wells for the purpose of getting water for drinking. Because in that case, you're not getting water. It's not like a bath. You're getting water specifically for drinking. In that case, it's as if you are using the money, spending the money on water, on a drink, and that is obviously one of the things you're allowed to do with Shemitah produce, you're allowed to do with the money as well. Ulechulan, and in all of these cases, to all of these people, the one who runs the bathhouse, the one who gives haircuts, etc., who knows a matnas chinam, and to all of them, you're allowed to give them Shemitah money as a matnas chinam, as a free gift. Now, of course, when they receive it, they'll have to continue treating it with the status of Shemitah, and they'll have to use it for the same things, to buy food, or to buy a drink, or to use it for anointing, whatever it is. But you're allowed to give it to them as a free gift, even though in exchange, or not really in exchange actually, but even though they might in the future allow you to use their bathhouse or give you a haircut, as long as you're very sincere when you give them the money, that you're sincere, that it's really just meant to be a gift. You don't need anything, you don't expect anything in exchange. As long as that's true, even though there's a possibility that you'll get benefit from it later, that they'll give something to you later on, that's okay. You're allowed to give it to them as a gift. That is Mishnah Hay. Now for Mishnah Vav, just a brief introduction. So we know that during the Shemitah year, anything that grows on its own, you are allowed to harvest, you're allowed to eat. But if you're the owner of a field, the halacha is you have to make your field and all of the produce hefker. You have to make it ownerless because yes, you're allowed to harvest, you're allowed to eat from it, but during the Shemitah year, everyone has to have access to that. Everyone has to be able to harvest it and eat it. So if a person illicitly, illegally, improperly, did not make one's field ownerless, but instead guarded it, instead locked it up and said no one can take produce, even if later on they eventually do tshuva, so to say, they repent and say, you know what, I made a mistake. Really, I should have made my field ownerless, so now I'm making my field ownerless. At that point, the person is allowed to harvest from the field, but they have to do so b'shinoi, in an unusual way. So the question is, what is considered an unusual way? So it says Mishnah Vav, te'enim shel shvi'is, figs from the seventh year, ein kotzen otzem b'muktzah. You are not allowed to harvest them b'muktzah. There are different ways of understanding that. We'll assume that it means with a tool, with a knife that was specific, that was dedicated to harvesting figs, because that's the usual way that you harvest figs, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. Aval, but you'd be allowed to kotzer otzem b'churba, you're allowed to harvest them with a general knife, a knife that's not usually used for harvesting figs. You're allowed to use that because that is unusual. Usually you would use the knife dedicated for harvesting figs. So that is done in an unusual way, and that would be okay. Continues the mission on a similar theme. Ein dorchan anav magas. You are not allowed to press grapes in a gas, in a wine press, because that is the usual way of doing that. Aval dorechu ba'areva, but you're allowed to press them in an areva. It's like this wooden utensil that you would knead dough in. So you're allowed to do it there because that is not the usual way that you would press grapes. And therefore, again, someone who illicitly guarded their field during Shavuos and then afterwards corrected it by making it ownerless, So you have to only harvest and process the food as well. We're learning now, it's not just harvesting, it's also processing, it's pressing the food. It has to be done in an unusual way. Continues the Mishnah on a similar theme, Ve'ein osin zesim babad ubakotev. You're not allowed to make olives, but it really means, as the Mefarshim pointed out, you're not allowed to squeeze, press olives in a bad, in a general olive press, ubakotev, and then with a wooden beam that would press it for the oil to come out. So in preparation for this Mishnah, I've done a lot of research into how olive oil is made. There are a lot of wonderful videos out there online. And really there are two steps, well, there are many steps, but there are two primary steps once you have the olives. The first is you crush them, you grind the olives to make really a pulp, and then you would press that pulp and it would extract the olive oil. So those two things were the primary two things that the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah says the normal way of doing it is that you'd put them into an olive press. That's where you'd grind them. That's where you'd crush them. And then you would take a wooden beam and extract the oil. So says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to do those two steps in the usual way, because that's the usual way of making olive oil. But instead, aval koteshu umachnis adabodida. But what you're allowed to do is first grind it, first be koteshu, first grind it, crush it somewhere else, not in a usual olive press, and then umachnis adabodida, then you can bring it to a very small olive press and press it there, because that's not usually how it's done. Usually it'd be brought to a very large olive press. That's the normal way. So as long as you do step number one, crushing it in an unusual way, not an olive press, and then you press it in an unusual way by doing it in a much smaller olive press, that's okay. Both steps were done. Bishinoi, both steps were done unusually. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Av tochin hu beveis habad, umachnisa levodida. Rabbi Shimon says, you could even crush it and grind it in a normal olive press, as long as then you're machnisit levodida, then you bring it to a smaller wine press, an unusual wine press, in order to press it. Meaning to say that Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need both steps to be done unusually. Even if you just do that last step unusually, that's good enough. So you can do the first step, which is grinding and crushing. You can do that as you normally would in a regular olive press, as long as step number two, the pressing of it, is done in an unusual way in a smaller olive press. I just, of note, it's important to note that others understand this Mishnah differently, that we're not talking about someone who first did it illegally by guarding his field and then made it ownerless, and then it's almost like now, because you did that, you have to do it in an unusual way. There are those who say that our Mishnah is talking about harvesting during the Shemitah year in general. Even if you always did the right thing, from the beginning you made it ownerless, the way that you harvest during the seventh year always needs to be done in an unusual way. That's an alternative way of understanding our Mishnah. Okay, that is Mishnah Vav. We'll continue the Mishnah Zayin tomorrow.